Hi guys, it's your host Matilda,
Hadiza,
and Imama,
and you're listening to the Amiibo Interludes. Everyone, welcome back to another episode of us ranting. These are the episodes that are less topical and more us doing Amiibo and just ranting about current issues. Talking about current issues, so we're recording this on Monday, and this is the day that Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram went down. Did you guys notice it, first of all, when it happened? And like, what happened?
I kept switching off and on my Wi-Fi. I'm like, am I going crazy?
Then I'm
tried
actually
to search
crying.
For another website. Because I don't have Instagram on my as an app, right? I just have the what's it called? I have the...
I search
it on the web, the browser, yeah. So, and I was trying to access Instagram and it wasn't working. I was like, oh shit, my Wi-Fi broken. And then I tried a different website. I was like, oh, okay, then
everything
it's Instagram
is
that
there.
Was the problem.
Yeah. Very millennial of me was Facebook that I actually noticed first. Because like Instagram was, because I have the app, right? So it was looking like it was there. It just wasn't loading. But that happens sometimes. So I opened Facebook and it's Facebook that I use browser for. And it just absolutely didn't even come up. It said, we can't connect to the server. I was like, Okay, then I go back to Instagram. Instagram wasn't loading. And I was like, okay, I'll just try again later. And I tried again later, same thing. So I was like, I can't be the only one. And then I search it and I'm like, oh, shit.
Guys, imagine if Instagram and all these things never came back.
You know, I was seeing that. Like, a lot of people were just honestly yawning.
Where?
On Twitter, right? Like, because it was this funny thing where, like, Twitter was the only thing that was up. And, like, because the whole world was flocking to Twitter, Twitter started having glitches as well. So it was really, really funny. Everybody was like, imagine if just everything goes off. It was just so crazy.
Honestly, Loki, I feel like I would like it because it's like, I feel like to a degree I'm addicted. So it would kind of be like a break.
Yeah, but because
like forced break.
Some people started spreading news about, oh, it looks like a some of the source. Okay, the rapture people come on. Like the rapture.
No, I actually saw a rapture. I
saw
it.
No, I saw it too. But I'm just like, why are they always calling rapture on everything?
But to be honest, I actually, like when it happened, I thought of it like, if I was a crazy person, I would actually think that the world is ending. Like,
just
I'm not even
rapture,
joking. That was
just because Facebook went off,
just because some servers died.
Like,
for
wait,
real.
What does Facebook have to do with the end of the
world? When you're in a certain mind space and something goes wrong, it's very easy for your brain to spiral. I'm not surprised by the fact that somebody said rapture, because I was like, if I was crazy, I would literally be like,
crazy. How does that know?
Sorry, if they are not crazy people that thought rapture was happening. I'm sorry, but like for real, it's a thing that a brain can think about.
It's just come on, everybody. Not every time rapture, like, you know.
When I said the world is ending anyway, so it's actually coming. Rapture is coming.
I hear you, but is it Facebook servers going down?
Honestly,
that would indicate
that with Facebook servers going down. Who knows?
But Twitter has to be up because Twitter is end time social media.
Maybe all of it to just shut down at once.
Okay.
It won't Tumblr itself.
Okay. But it's just so funny because, like, I was on this Clubhouse because, again, that's all we could do. and there was this really huge room that some people were just talking about, and there were just so many conspiracies.
Yep.
Wait, people still use Clubhouse?
Yeah, they do. They really do. There were, like, 8K people on the Clubhouse room I was in. They reached capacity, but like was really, really informative because they had a lot of people in the tech industry trying to explain and like debunk a lot of things that people were saying, because people were saying this is a hack, they have your data, and people were like, this is the DNS, this is just what directs people to the site, and that has nothing to do with the server that your data is stored and everything. I'd be the database that your data is stored. But people started saying, oh, it was a hack that it was Facebook that shut it down. You know, to be honest, I don't know. We're never really going to know. I don't think the full story of what happened, but even the employees themselves were locked out of Facebook. Apparently, like, yo, someone called in from New York and couldn't access, mm-hmm. like, they couldn't go into the buildings. What were you saying, Hadiza?
I was just like, what if it was just an experiment? Like, it's like, oh, let's see.
That was one of the theories, you know. Because
I was thinking, okay, what if this is an experiment and they want to see what people's activity, phone activity is following the shutdown of like social media and stuff like that. It would actually make for a pretty cool experiment. Like, and then they play it off as an accident, but like they're able to gather like data and stuff like that. And like they, Facebook collaborated with Apple to do this. Because, you know, now because Apple asks, like, okay, now apps actually ask, can I track your data, like, from other apps and stuff like that, like, mm-hmm. with the new iOS and stuff. But obviously, like, this is just, I was just honestly, like, imagine this. I obviously don't believe that. It's just, these are just things that were going on in my head.
Yeah, but some people were saying it was like a control thing. Because, again, this happened a day after a whistleblower went on, I think it was a CNN show. Mm-hmm. And she was just talking about the unethical things that Facebook does. And apparently she leaked a couple of documents, like just showing, you know, what goes on. Like there's a lot of ethical things that Facebook forgoes or something, like just to make more money, because they know mm-hmm. that if they change the algorithm for a certain way, it's not going to get as much clicks and therefore mm-hmm. not as much money. But then mm-hmm. they know from the research they've done, like it leads to a lot of misinformation and hate mongering and stuff like that. But like they know, but they don't tell their investors that information that they found. Just pretty much very unethical things. And it was literally just the day after the whistleblower was unveiled that the thing went down. So it was just like, it seems too...
What would they be controlling though? Like how
so there were shutting it down? There were multiple theories. So it could be someone from the outside, because Facebook stocks dropped like mad. Mark Zuckerberg lost almost $7 billion just from the thing being off for those hours that it was off.
Crazy.
And it just reduces people's trust in the company, almost like in the reliability of the company.
So you think it was an attack from somewhere else?
So that was the argument from the attack side. Some people said it was an internal thing. They thought that Facebook was pretty much putting it down to cover up whatever the extensive thing was. And some people were like, that makes no sense, because they can they can clear data while the server is still up. But they were also saying it could be a way of control. Like they were showing us that regardless of whether they're ethical or unethical, if they shut down this thing, all of us suffer. Kind of like a thing of control.
That's like a Nigerian politician mentality.
But it wasn't like the people on there were not just Nigerian.
I don't know why, it just made me feel like
but I feel like there's more to it though.
Because
the timing, I don't feel like the timing was very, like, it seemed kind of fishy. I don't know.
For me, it was really arbitrary. It would be so cool if, like, 20 years later, they come up with some kind of research regarding revolving around this, and Facebook had agreements to keep it secret, but then the secrecy maybe
came
contract
out.
Has expired, and now this is a research that was done based off the shutdown and stuff.
I mean, there's going to have to be investigations about it, Sha.
Yeah, so
they'll tell us
it.
Something. Yeah. Because this is, I think, the biggest ever Facebook downtime ever. Because it didn't just take out Facebook. It took out Facebook, WhatsApp. It took out IG. Like, everything. It took down their internal communication and stuff like that. Just literally everything. It was huge.
Yeah. I guess they're just like every other. Because if you think about other companies too, I'm sure once in a while, your company, you know, loses its own internal network, or it's down and it needs to be fixed and stuff like that. I guess Facebook is no different, you know?
Yeah. I took from this is that, first of all, I need to take away all my throwback pictures and put them on a cloud, because Facebook can actually go anytime.
Oh my gosh, true. Like, I should also move my throwback pictures to like a cloud as well.
Deadass. I'm doing that, like, literally tonight.
I was like, what if the cloud to deletes?
Well, then, maybe I was not meant to have the pictures.
It's the end of the world, then.
you put hard drive all the way.
Yeah, like you should really have all your data backed up, like on hardware and also in the cloud, because like anything can fail anytime, like, you know. But anything, it's just like anything for your call now. As Imama said, maybe it's end times.
Everybody should pray and give their life to Christ.
But think about this, like this is one company. Ministering
through my platform.
Imama, one company that owns Facebook, IG, and WhatsApp. The aunties are shaky. The aunties didn't know what to do today. No, WhatsApp BCs. What else are they gonna do?
Me on WhatsApp trying to have a serious conversation about Nigeria, and then I just saw the ticking sign, and I said, "What? Why is it ticking?
What happened?" Oh yes, were you talking about the NASCO thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I still haven't read that article.
Hadiza, can you give us a summary? Because like I read it, but like I don't know how to summarize it because there's just a lot of...
No, a lot was said. I feel like my summary will be incomplete. There'll be a lot of gaps. I suggest you guys read it.
I think everyone needs to take it. Yeah.
You guys need to read it a couple times because it's a lot to take in.
By the way, it's going to be on our social media. So it's by... it's an article written by David.
By that David Hunding guy.
That guy. The same guy that wrote about Ini Omoren.
Yeah.
The girl that they had, the Akwa Ibom girl that they had killed or something back then.
Okay, so he's that reputable. Was also
it's a reputable stuff, and he had like screenshots of like a lot of news articles, documentation. He's not in Nigeria.
Is he masked?
No, like, he's not masked. He's just not in Nigeria. Because if he's in Nigeria, he looks like
in a country.
We don't know where he is anymore.
Do people know what he looks like?
Yeah, he puts his face out there. He takes interviews. Shit.
Crazy.
I hope he's okay where he is. Everybody, put David in your prayers.
That article is very dangerous.
Really?
Yeah, okay. So, Hadiza, however much you can summarize it, I can pick up wherever you want to.
Yeah, wherever. Basically, it starts off with he's telling us the backstory of Boko Haram. You know the way people say the backstory of Boko Haram is like,
Jonathan Zera.
Yeah, or people will say, oh, they are just people who are uneducated, or oh, Boko Haram are people who are brainwashed, or oh, Boko Haram are, like, people simplify the backstory of Boko Haram. So he's really giving you this scoop and really telling you that Boko Haram is really some people in power. I won't say our governors, I'll say some people in power. I already said our governors. Like, please cut that part. Oh my gosh,
you remember when like it was like a thing though, like when people used to say that it was people in power that was funding it? I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, but anyway, it is people in power. But I think this one was a bit more blatant because they gave
Did he call names?
He called
names. Names and companies.
Even just recently, there were pictures of these same people with Buhari.
In case they remove it.
He called names. He even said the very first person. He talked about the very first person who
came with the went ideology.
Came with the ideology. The guy went to Saudi and the guy was speaking Arabic. The Saudi people were like, oh, your Arabic is so nice. He was like, okay, I'll bring back the ideology back to Nigeria and stuff like that. And he just came back to Nigeria and started talking about...
Ideology? Can you talk about that as well?
From what I understood, very kind of fundamentalist, very extreme, like kind of like, oh, let's go back to how things were. You know, when people start saying things like, let's go back to how things were
like
in
make America the 80s. Again.
Do you guess?
Yeah, but you want to go back to before, like 2000 AD, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so pretty much take away all the the cultural things that have been added to Islam and go back to what they believe is pure Islam and
like that. So, very dangerous.
Not believing that the Islam that some other people are practicing is the real Islam. Do you get what
I mean? So the guy came back and then he started, and I guess a lot of people really kind of liked his, well, to be honest, the way I saw it, I was like, I feel like he was backed by a very rich government. So, of course, people are going to like the things he's saying.
Honorable mention, Amadou Bello, who was the premier of the Northern Region at that point in time. So, keep in mind. And I've watched clips of Amadou Bello being very, very, very... Like, I mean, because we were broken up into, like, regions, three regions back then at the time of his rule. He seemed very, very... Even in the interviews, he seemed very tribalistic and I think to an extent very, like, Islamized, if that's a word. But, yeah.
Wait, is he still alive?
No. He was assassinated.
Okay, because I was like, wait, first we're bleeping his name, more because honestly.
Are you scared?
Yeah, what do you mean? Yes,
talk about Pantami. Like, this, I'm saying even current names are named. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's not a secret, and we should stop acting like it's a secret. The information is
but
there.
Matilda, I understand what you're saying, yes, but.
It's still dangerous. It's still, I get what my
it's dangerous.
I don't understand. How can an article like this exist and we still want to be doing hush, 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 hush?
They don't used to hear. Matilda, they don't used to hear. You read this article. They'll say
exactly.
You said it.
You're propagating of them like dangerous. Using a company. By the way, this all summarizes by them using NASCO. Imama NASCO conflicts to sponsor Boko Haram and other terrorist groups. So the owner of NASCO.
All of these are quotes from the article.
Yeah.
This is all the article. That's even the headline of the article. All this backstory we're giving is that's not the main thing.
It's just so you it can They're connect to this that guy.
NASCO, that guy, the Eritrean who Ethiopian. Is he Ethiopian or Eritrean?
Eritrean.
The Eritrean who came to Nigeria and created NASCO.
He shared those ideologies.
And he was heavily sponsoring
Boko Haram.
A lot of,
that's so crazy.
So
NASCO that the population has been buying and eating. Not knowing that they are lucky. Everybody is lucky.
The guy said, like, it's crazy because people feed their children NASCO just for it to bite them back and, like the same thing that is going to kill them. Do you get what I mean?
They'll use the money,
And it's just so crazy because there's pictures of Buhari being pictured with these people that are very known terrorist sponsors. I think a lot of people are taking out of this boycott NASCO. Yes, of course, boycott NASCO. But that's not really the big takeaway. The takeaway is that our government is sponsoring.
Somebody up there needs to be boycotted, removed.
It's not
imprisoned.
Somebody, Hadiza. It is.
He say his name now.
It's not one person. That's what I'm trying to say. Our government is sponsoring Boko Haram.
I know it's not one
like,
person.
Like, it's not one person.
Yeah.
It's multiple
people. It's multiple
people,
yeah.
So yeah. I think it's like, it
but
just
to be quite
shines.
Frank, it's like with everything that's going on, like I think about it and I'm just like, what can we actually do?
And that's a question that somebody was asking. And to be honest, I've sat down and been like, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not to be scared and be like, oh, don't say their name.
But
their
you
name
know
is
what?
Blatantly
I also,
there, Imam. I don't understand.
I also think it is actually very naive to not be scared. I can't lie.
Am
or
I
not,
the one
or
that
not
has...
take precautions?
Okay.
Because even though, like, honestly, I'm not saying that obviously we should, like, you know, walk around being scared and never say anything. Yes, we should say stuff and, like, do stuff, but I think it's very naive for, like, you know, us to act like this is, like, you know, that we can, like, just say it. Like,
I think if
there,
you're
like,
in a
you
place
know,
where
think...
you're saying names like that, you need to have actual protection.
Exactly. It's like you can see they have that. Like, what's like the reason
real.
Why you're probably comfortable saying this is because of the country that you're in. I don't think that if you're in Nigeria, I would say be very cautious if you're going to about this thing openly. Because like, think about even in NSARS. Like, think about just NSARS when they were not even doing that much. But like the people from my cell, I said, like FK and Jules had to go into hiding. Based on the small things that they were doing. But you want to say that we can just say these people's name, these people that is not like, we're only talking like, you know, Magada, we're only talking like, we're talking the country. But you want to just say that name. Please, you know, we should be careful. Say their names.
I hear you, I hear you.
We'll have the right protection.
I hear you. But it's just, when I read this, I was like,
right.
I'm sorry,
they
but
just killed Dr.
This goes beyond us. How
us.
Are we talking Amadou Bello? 1955. Where do we want to start from? If they've been going
exactly.
to, like they've been what's the word? Coming together, building up. What's the word?
No worries. Okay,
I'm so upset. They've been building chassis even before we were born, even before the nation was born. How do we want to start to undo this? Like what what can we do? So
exactly.
I think
question.
That's
what
why
we're
talking about cows, and it sounds like a joke, but. Nigeria is theirs. Anyways,
to be honest,
if you people have solutions, let us know.
There's nothing wrong with having an ideology that you want to go back to an original, not killing people. That's where the issue is, like funding terrorist groups and
but
stuff
if
like
you
that.
Are a fundamentalist, as you said, like if you believe mm-hmm. that what everyone else is doing, you will infringe on other people's rights. It's not about right. it's mm-hmm. yeah, you can believe what you want to believe and keep it to yourself, but that's not what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what even the fundamental belief is. Mm-hmm. So it's to not even just convince other people, but even like kill people based off of your belief and stuff
your
like that.
Belief.
So I don't know. It goes much deeper than I think any of us even that article probably was able to uncover.
This article feels like I'm reading. Have you guys ever been on WikiLeaks before? This article feels like I'm reading a WikiLeaks
actually,
article.
I've never been on WikiLeaks. So.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah.
Anyway, if anyone has ideas,
there's lots of content that I don't consume that I probably should.
No, Imama, I think every Nigerian actually needs to read that article because
I
think people in the South are very. Oh, okay, WikiLeaks. Okay,
WikiLeaks. When I went on this, I was scared though.
Oh,
I never. So I didn't go on it again.
Yeah,
no.
I want to say this is like, cause they also. I don't think the people that they have a name and I forget what he used.
It's JIBWIS, which stands for. So it's in Arabic, so I'm just going to say it's in English. Society of Removal of Innovation and Reestablishment of the Sunnah.
Wow, that's really a thing. A removal of innovation. That's yeah. mad. I'm still sitting on removal of innovation.
I think when they say innovation, they mean innovation to the Quran, but then I guess it's honestly innovation generally
because don't go to school.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's absolutely not funny. People are losing their lives on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are we doing here? They're just mm-hmm. killing people. Even the army that is fighting is just a needless war that they've created. Like they mm-hmm. just, I feel like they thrive on the country just being in chaos and like it's just stressful. I don't know what to do about. I don't have any solutions.
Just
I know
keep sharing
boycott
the article
NASCO,
so people are aware.
It's better
aware.
To know. Yeah.
Can we boycott the government?
the government has already boycotted us.
I'm sorry.
You guys,
how?
I'm actually curious if you guys listeners have any very creative ideas on how to boycott a government. Please let me know.
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
How is that? But.
I think they've already cut us off before we cut them off.
Exactly. I don't know if that's possible to boycott the government.
It's okay. That's crazy.
But don't worry. I like the idea. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we have enough time to really go into this, but we can try really, really briefly. One of our listeners had actually sent us a message and I'm just going to read it out and we can try to really briefly go over it. So he said, "Hello, I enjoy your podcast so much. Shout out to you, by the way. I wanted to ask if it's possible for you to do a roundtable discussion with some Nigerians abroad to talk about their immigration story and how they navigated their first few days. As you know, it's fall and a lot of students are traveling for school this period. Thanks and best regards." So we don't know if we're going to put that episode together in time for like, you know, as you said, it's fall, but we are abroad and like we've had immigration stories. So I was just thinking maybe we can just go really briefly through like what your first few days of like immigrating here was like. And like if you have like any tips for how to navigate that better, like what would you do better and stuff like that going back.
I remember mine. I was like freedom. Like first, like high school, grade 12.
If that's what you're talking about. Oh, yes. Wait. Disclaimer, first of all. I guess we can talk about both because we, all three of us did like, we did grade 12 first and then we went to university. So when we came here to redo grade 12 or to do grade 12 because Imama didn't redo it. She just did year 12 here. So, Yeah. So I guess you can talk about that and also first year university. Because I experienced another level of culture shock when I went to university, because in the school that I went to, it was a school for international students, the grade 12 one. So like I was still surrounded by a lot of immigrants. Oh, yeah. So it wasn't that much of a culture shock at first. Then I came to university and I did.
Talk about it from a university point of view then.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about. But then the thing is like we might also not have the same experience, because as of that point you had at least lived here for a year, so yeah. It was culture shock, but probably not as much culture shock as a person coming fresh out of Nigeria, for example. Do you get
true?
I can imagine it would be really extremely hard, because it was also very hard for me in first year, even though I had been here for a year. I would say you just need to come here with an open mind.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that like I would say is that like definitely be open to like making friends with like different people from like different places. But and this is actually one thing that I see some Nigerians do. It's like I think sometimes it's like they only make friends with like non-Nigerians.
Like non-Nigerians?
No, non-Nigerians. So it's like, you know, all their friends are like
you might be playing yourself in that case.
Exactly. And like, you know, what's important, like they only stick to Nigerians. And I feel like both of those things are just not the best. I think like definitely make sure that you make friends with like other people, because I think it's important like just for like your program or like if you're in university. I don't think you can actually do university without people in your program. So I think especially if you're in engineering, but like make friends with like other people, like socialize with like people in the class, like do things like that. But I think it's important for you to also make friends with Nigerians as well, like, you know, seek out the Nigerian community and actually make friends with them. Because it's like, I mean, ultimately, it's like they're your people and they will also help you like navigate the place. And a lot of them have been here for longer.
Trust me, you
know, they might be able to, they might know some like, I don't know, like, you know, immigration stuff, like just ways to make it easier for you to settle in and stuff. While the other people, while you're there, would also just make it easier for you to also just like, I guess, like
assimilate system,
into their culture. So definitely make friends, like, you know, from like other people, but also make friends with Nigerians. Like, do not just lean to one side. I think that's one thing that I would definitely say.
Yeah, that's super, super important. I think that open mind thing also really, really helps.
Like, don't be judgmental.
Yeah, don't be judgmental. Like, there's a lot of things that are strange, like, to you as a Nigerian that is really, really normal here. And, like, I promise you, over time, you start to see them as normal as well. So you just really, really have to have an open mind. How about you, Hadiza?
I'm trying to think of something, but I can't really like think of anything. Like, okay, what age is this person coming in? Are they like coming in for school? Are they just, is it just general immigration advice? Because if they're coming in for school, I honestly think working a part-time job is a good way to get to know. Like,
not at first.
I think maybe give it a semester and then look for a job. Exactly. But I seriously still recommend that job thing, because it's all these small jobs that you start at first that eventually might help you get that job after you graduate.
No, I think you definitely do a job, but like not right away. Like, give yourself time to settle in. Like, honestly, work is always going to be there.
Yeah. But keep in mind that Naira is dropping and they keep putting new restrictions on it. So yeah, keep that in mind
as well. 3 months.
No, but I think our first year and these people's first year is completely different. We were here when Nigeria was still flourishing a little bit. Like, remember that shock? I think it was 2015 or something like that, when everything just changed all of a sudden and then everybody started getting jobs. Honestly, like initially when we came, nobody knew the struggle, or at least no one in my circle. Like, we were all balling, is what I'm saying. We were doing fine. Most people didn't have jobs. People were like, you know, they were giving them allowance and everything. Then was it even Buhari's regime that the problem started?
I don't even they started to manifest before Buhari came in, but it's like Buhari
solidified
I don't know if he solidified it, but I guess he did, really.
Yeah. If it's general immigration, I would also advise, like, you know, I think I know some people that are of the mentality that, like, they, as Imama said, they kind of want to distance themselves from like Nigerians, because like I think there's sometimes a like a self-hate or something. You know that like sometimes in Nigerian communities, maybe there's like a little bit of gossip and like, you know, everybody's in everyone's business kind of thing. But I think that if you're a Christian, for example, like finding a good church, it goes a long way. Like I know a lot of people, and this wasn't my experience, but I think it was Imama's experience. Like you found a church, and these are like
my
the people
was my church
literally, and these are people that you are still solid friends with till right now. And even if you are not an immigrant on the student level, I know churches really help with immigration. Like if you're having immigration issues, the pastor of an immigrant church knows everything about immigration usually.
100%. And they usually know people that can help, and they usually even always know people at the embassy.
Always. Yeah. So that's super important. Like even if you are not a student, for example, if you immigrate here, like you can find small Nigerian communities around something else. Maybe it's even a dance class or something. But I think ultimately what we're saying is that community is important when you're here, especially when you immigrate here alone. You need community. If you think you are a loner and you can do it by yourself, I think you have a harder time. Yeah.
Depression is real. Oh, depression is a thing. So do not be like, so I mean, you'll be surprised anyway.
So you'll be surprised. Like, it'll shock you.
Oh my God.
But like, I mean, try to get sun in the winter, like try to get sun or get like vitamin D or something. A lot of people don't know seasonal depression until like maybe like their fourth, fifth time experiencing it. And then they're like, this is what it is.
Oh, the 1 year I moved away from, like, because as I said, like, we came to Ottawa, but, like, I already had friends here from CIC. But I think I experienced, like, what a new immigrant, I think, might experience if they are moving to a place on their own when I moved to Toronto for a year. And it was winter, and I wasn't doing all these their winter sports, so I was just at home. And I was, I don't want to say depressed, because I feel like maybe it's a thing that I had to be diagnosed for, but it was bad. So know that.
I mean, you felt depressed.
I felt depressed. Yeah. It was horrible. So in places, especially like Canada and stuff, that they get winter really bad, you need to know that it's a thing, especially coming from a sunny place like Nigeria.
Yeah. So honestly, get as much sun as you can and take your vitamin D supplements.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll okay. Last thing, actually.
Vitamin D supplements.
Yeah.
If you're coming from Lagos, if you take a trip to Balogun Market, you can buy winter stuff and save money. So I actually advise you do it, because they actually have some nice stuff. Like I'm actually being quite
dead ass. Like I remember there was a summer Hadiza went back to Nigeria. She came back with like nicer jackets than you would even see here from Balogun.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Hadiza.
It's like thrifting, but like at Balogun Market, way cheaper even.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we have for now. And like, we'll just do our question of the week and then we'll wrap it up. So Imama, can you hit it off?
Okay. The title is She Being Ungrateful? Good morning, Juro. I gave my girlfriend money for Bone Straight shoes and clothes for her birthday. And she's telling me that it isn't a birthday gift because I didn't give it to her on her birthday day. So like on the day of her birthday. Can you imagine?
But it's a gift nonetheless.
And what she's saying that is not, she's not saying
birthday
gift.
It's just regular
gifts.
Birthday
gifts, exactly. Mm. And he now said that this is someone I gave 1.1 million to support her business, not up to 1 month before I gave her. Sorry, not up to 1 month before I gave her money for all this stuff. We've been dating for 2 years plus now. I love her and I want to marry her for sure. But sometimes I feel like she's not appreciative, and that worries me a lot. Hope she doesn't turn worse when we get married. I'm not her dad, but currently I do basically everything for her, including her school fees. Not like the dad is late. So yeah, that's the issue.
Okay, but I just feel like, I guess it's the condition of the country and stuff, but like, relationships sound so transactional.
Very.
You know what? It's funny because in Nigeria, for what I've learned, it really actually does seem like a lot of the relationships there are transactional, where it's like, and most times it's usually like, you know, the guy giving like the woman like money or like things like that. Like money, goods, whatever it is, just giving her something, Sha. And yeah, it's usually transactional. And then like the guy would usually expect, like, if it's like, I don't know, sex, like food, like keeping the house clean, just something back. But I mean, from what I have learned
and
in
it's
the past,
like fine.
Months, it does seem very transactional. I think like it's usually fine until like something like this happens. Because like, I mean, they said that they've been dating for 2 years plus. So I'm sure this is not the first time that they have, like, you know, exchanged money for something, or like, you know, he has bought her something really expensive.
Maybe he's just like thinking about it now because he's thinking of marrying her.
No, and he knows this is going to be to him. No, I think it's worth it now because to him, I guess, like, he bought her all those things and he gave her 1.1 million before, and she, like, she's still upset. That's probably why he's thinking about it now.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, you are saying that, like, this probably has happened in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, similar stuff, like, it's transactional. If the nature of their relationship is transactional and they are cool with it, then this shouldn't be that big of a deal, should it?
But he's not cool.
No. So what I'm saying that is, I think he's cool with the transactional nature of the relationship. What he's not cool with is the fact that she wasn't appreciative of it this time. So I think before she must have been appreciative in the past, Jiggins.
Mm.
But like this time, she's not, because it's her birthday and he, according to her, she should not get birthday gifts.
Do you know what I think?
What?
I genuinely think this girl, like the woman he's describing, is generally not, usually not like that appreciative, because I personally feel like, I don't know how to explain. I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like if she was, he wouldn't do as much as he's doing. That's what I personally feel. I feel like...
No, I don't think...
No, I don't agree with that. I just said, what was that line of thought? No. I feel like maybe it's a place of like, because they've been doing it, she's like expectant of it and it's now not that much of a big deal anymore.
No,
do you get what I mean?
I don't think you're hearing the issue. The issue is
no,
that
think
to
about
her.
It. Imama, when you are fresh into a relationship or even a year or two or whatever, the guy is like showering you with gifts, right? And like,
no,
it's
wait,
just it becomes this status quo, and then at some point it's like expected, and so then it's
no,
not really a thing of appreciation.
The issue is not that she didn't appreciate the gifts that he gave her. That's not the issue. The issue is that she wanted something else for her birthday. Gone. That's the issue. So the issue is that he got her gifts, like he got her bone straight, all of those stuff. And he had like borrowed her money, I guess, the month before. He got her all of that, fine, and that was awesome. And I'm sure she must have said thank you then. But like the main issue here is that her birthday came around the corner, and he didn't buy her gifts for her on her birthday. That's the issue. So the issue is,
oh, he
that
didn't buy her gifts. I thought the bone straight was for her birthday.
So okay, so that's the thing. So he was now saying that essentially those gifts that he bought for her, like, okay, I gave my girlfriend money for bone straight shoes and clothes for her birthday, but she's telling me that it's not a gift because I didn't give her on my birthday date. So I think the thing where it's like, she probably just thought that he gave her
like, upkeep,
you know,
like birthday,
exactly.
Like, dude. It sounds like money
like,
you give
like,
someone
take
to
yourself.
Take care of yourself for your birthday,
exactly,
not that this
birthday,
is now your gift. This
gift.
Is
exactly.
This is not, you know, yeah, I get it. I understand it now.
Makes so
I still
so
feel
I
like both go hand in hand.
What go hand in hand?
Like, it goes hand in hand. Like, she's used to getting that now. So now it's not, it's just like, it's not a thing of appreciation. It's a thing of, I expect it. And so now I need something extra.
She expects a birthday gift. I mean, it's like, I mean, I feel like in most relationships, I don't really know, Sha, because, you know, me, I'm a novice at this kind of stuff. I think that they used to expect birthday gifts from each other, though, no? You do expect a birthday gift from like your partner, and they would usually expect one from you as well.
Yeah.
So like, I think like that's like,
No, I want to know the conclusion of your question.
No,
as
I think
well.
That's what happened in this case, where it's like, you know, like he gave her all these things for her upkeep, like, you know, leading towards her birthday, like, oh girl, like, you know, get your nails done, all of that fun stuff. But to her, she's like, okay, I mean, thank you for all of that. Like, I appreciate all of that, but where's my birthday gift? And in his head, he's like, okay, but all of that was your birthday gift. So I think that's the problem here. Like, problem here is that like he gave her all of these things, which I'm sure she was thankful for, but he just did not give her a birthday gift according to her.
Yeah.
According to him, he did. So I don't think it's that. I genuinely don't think it's that she's not appreciative. I really don't think that's the issue here.
Makes
I think
sense.
Is that in regards to this specific thing, he didn't give her a birthday gift according to her. To him, he's just confused.
I think Imama has convinced me to this. It kind of reminds me of this dilemma. The receipts, they were like, oh, he paid off my loan
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, I was listening to that podcast. So what had happened is the guy paid off her student loans. Like, was it like 70K or something like that?
It was a lot of money.
It was pounds, a lot of money. Not dollars, again, not naira. Yes, pounds sterling. And instead of that, he didn't buy her, like, so he paid it off and he didn't buy her an engagement ring. And she was kind of upset about it. And I'm like, honestly, I feel like people have misplaced priorities.
Wait. I'm so sorry. Roll back. So are you saying that she should not have been upset?
Yes. Why is she upset? Ibaba, why should she be upset?
No, wait. Okay, I don't know. Okay, you know what? It's actually funny because I've had a discussion with somebody. I literally have had a discussion like this with somebody else. It's like, I
don't you, like Ibaba, you and this gift. Babe are the
Let me explain. I don't like when people use one gift to like cover up another gift. It's like, if you want to pay off my loans, pay off my loans. If you want to give me an engagement gift, give me an engagement ring. Don't pay off my loans and say that that's my engagement ring when you know that I want an engagement ring. If that's the case, leave the loans alone and give me an engagement. Because it's like, I feel like you know what the you know what the person wants. I feel like it's a thing where it's like you're giving the person a gift that you want instead of giving the person the gift that they actually want. Because it's like you know what the person wants. Well, you're doing what you think would be best for them.
Loki, I hear you totally, because Loki, I think you just have to know the person you're with. Because if you're with someone that has always dreamed about an engagement ring and stuff, because Imama, I know you. Imama has sent me her. Like, Imama said, you're my friend. She said, since secondary school, Imama has been sending me pictures of rings. Said so that when I meet that person, they won't be asking stupid questions. They know exactly what I want.
No, but honestly,
so it's not Imama that you now go and pay student loan for.
And I'll skip ring. You say it's only wedding ring, I'm guessing.
But someone like me, I honestly even feel like engagement rings are a scam. So if you pay my student loan, let's call it a wrap, I'll just buy a toy ring, anything. I really don't care. Like, it's just capitalism to me. I don't even wear jewelry, so that's their business.
Honestly, actually funny, because I also don't even wear jewelry, so I don't understand why.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, it's significant to you still, like, because...
Yeah, no, it's definitely significant to me. Like, I feel like, for me, like, I don't know, I think in general, like, even forget the fact that I want an engagement ring, like, I think in general, like, I just don't like when people, like, do what they want and use that as, like, a replacement or something. Like, it's, like... Get the person what they want instead of doing what you think is best for them, or ask them at least.
Then you can use that exact same mentality for this babe that this guy is talking about. Because the babe wanted a birthday gift, but he did what he wanted. Do you get what I mean? That might be what she's talking about. So it might be a miscommunication. So I feel like in relationships, it's really just like communication. Yeah. But Loki, I still feel like it's a little bit entitled. Honestly, men really, really try, because, like, honestly, if I was a guy, I would actually, like, I would have a conversation about it at least. Like, I feel like if you have a conversation and the person doesn't have, like, malicious intent about it, then, like, okay, we move and everything. But if it's just a thing of, like, entitlement, you are probably going to have that problem a lot down the line if that's someone you see yourself with long term. So I feel like it's just a thing of have the conversation with the person you're with. I think a lot of things in relationships can be solved by conversation, but yeah
I think so too.
So don't ask us, ask the baby you're with.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but yeah.
All right, that's it from us today. Catch us next week with our full episode. Don't forget to share this with your friends. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you want to. Remember, we have a website, africalypsopodcast.com, and you can leave us a review there. You can also contact us, so you can leave us a message there. If you guys have your own dilemmas, let us know. Just interact with us. We want to hear from you guys. So hit up our website and everything, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.